And fulfillment is twofold. It's really your inner blueprint. Hopefully you have a lot of success there, that you actually achieved what you wanted to, that you felt like you were put on this earth for a purpose and you accomplished everything. And what you did in your reality actually matches your blueprint. If you don't, you'll feel a void there. And then the second is peace within. And you could call this happiness or whatnot, but it's not a naive happiness. It's not just, you know, trying to fake yourself into a good mood, but knowing there's voids there. It's just an understanding that there's a beauty in everything that's going on in every single moment. And it's your job to find out what that is. And that's sort of my mission every single day, is to just align with that concept.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. Before we jump into this episode, we got a couple of announcements for you guys.
The first of which is we jumped the gun a little bit, just a wee bit, on Creative Loafing's Best of the Bay 2017. They have closed nominations, and we thank everybody who actually nominated us. They have an open voting, though, so right. That was a tad bit early. There is going to be a little bit of a lag. They should have voting open by the end of July. Yes. So if you're listening to this and it's before the end of July, it's still to come.
Yes.
You haven't missed it.
Yeah, put it on your calendars now.
Yes.
Okay. Vote for Addicted to Fitness, best local podcast. Okay.
At the end of July.
CLTampaBay.com. Okay. So the second announcement is I am offering free fitness consultations and follow-ups. You guys can schedule those by just sending me an email to elementaltampa@gmail.com. We can talk about exercise, nutrition, accountability, anything that will help improve your fitness. Go ahead and get in contact with me and we'll talk. No big whoop. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nice offer for if you just want a quick chat, get some advice, get some kind of like a starting point. I don't think we actually went into in the last podcast what exactly was included in the consultation,
right.
But we put it in the show notes.
Yes.
So you can definitely pick up the email and any details there as well.
Yeah, exactly. And just send an email. We'll go into full detail if we get in contact through the email. So it's interesting because, you know, fitness consultations, this week's episode is kind of also involves, an interview with a person that is really big on also being kind of a mentor, helping people with improve their fitness and health.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited for this episode because they actually reached out to us and asked to come on the podcast, which is kind of a first for us.
Yes. And I think that's it's a good sign. See, we do take those emails and questions.
Yes.
So don't be strangers.
Yeah.
If you've got an interesting topic, or if you yourself are an interesting topic, then bring it on.
Yeah. No, yeah, we love talking to people. And I'll admit, when I first got this email, I don't want to say I disregarded it. You know, I just probably didn't give it enough attention that I should have. You know, I saw it. I clicked on the stuff they had about the person that we actually ended up interviewing you guys about to hear.
Didn't you think it was kind of more of a sales pitch, I think, at first?
Kind of. Maybe, yeah, a little bit. I was worried maybe the person I would have came on and basically done a sales pitch during the interview, you know. And honestly, after I did the research on this interview, this person we interviewed, I was more than happy to have them on, and the interview, I believe, came off, you know, exact opposite of a sales pitch.
Yeah, real,
you know?
Interesting person.
Yeah, exactly. He was super interesting, and I keep saying he and the interviewer or interviewee. So now we're going to announce it. today's interview is with the co-creator of MuscleProdigy.com and also the creator of the workout system called MP45. His name is Jarrett Grossman. He was a super interesting person to talk to. We talked about a bunch of different stuff in regards to what kind of services he offers and how he kind of developed all these services. One really cool thing that we talked about, which I think we kind of like, is he did a daily vlog for a whole year.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing more about this.
Right. So we talk about it a little bit more in detail, but, you know, doing 365 videos every day, basically motivational videos, that's why it was something I was super interested in. Yes. So we talk about that in this interview, guys, along with a couple other really interesting topics. So we're not going to delay it any longer. Here is our interview with Jarrett Grossman. My guest today is an author, a motivational speaker, a former All-American wrestler, and the co-creator of the popular health and fitness site, MuscleProdigy.com. It's my distinct pleasure to welcome Jarrett Grossman to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. How are you doing today, Jarrett?
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Nick. Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I'm really glad we were able to schedule this time to speak. I had a lot of different questions. I mean, you and your company produces a ton of different health and fitness content. But first, I'd like to ask you about your something that we both have in common, and that's our the wrestling background. Obviously, yours is much more accomplished than mine, 3-time All-American. But I wanted to know if what type of effect wrestling had on you. Now, currently, you know, with your approach to health and your approach to business.
Yeah, absolutely. So wrestling completely transformed my life just from a mentality. Also got me into lifting weights and got me addicted to fitness, you know. Funny enough, your podcast name. It was a complete transformative effect on me in terms of just understanding hard work, understanding just what goes into accountability and responsibility, that you're the one out there on the mat and you're going to dictate your own success or failure, and it's based upon the work that you put in prior to. And I remember specifically my junior year, and it was the county finals. I lost in double overtime. I just kept standing up and kept rushing me out of bounds. And, you know, after 30 seconds of that, there was no more time left. And I lost, and basically my mentor at the time, who was very close to me, and he just basically saw me destroyed or whatnot. And we were talking about the match, but he point blank just told me, you know, it's not about what you did in the match. You basically did all you could, but it's really about, you know, your preparation beforehand. And certain things happened, you know, that year that took me out of my element a little bit and staying on top of my game. And then from there, I just made a pact to myself to never let something like that ever happen again. So it's just a matter of preparing like crazy for the moments that you want in life. And, you know, I took that to heart, and took it to heart in business, obviously, and just personal development and all that kind of stuff.
Now, I was reading about the MuscleProdigy.com, which you co-created with a friend. Is that correct?
Yeah, so this is my childhood friend, somebody I grew up with in middle school, high school. And we were connecting on a couple of other business ventures at the time, not making much money doing them. But we were really passionate about fitness, and we just saw a niche in this space to give advice that can be administered to anyone, whether you never lifted before, you never got into the gym, you weren't addicted to fitness, for instance, because in our era, during that time where all the information was coming from, it was coming from these hardcore magazines, essentially. Those were the only resources of information, and it was basically catered to a specific demographic that was very hardcore and intense, and many of them, you know, enhancing. And there we saw a need for more natural information that actually worked, and stuff that didn't include deprivation, for instance, because I believe that's the number one reason why diets fail or people start something and then they quit. It's because there's too much pain associated with taking up that new activity. So once you can really tap into that kind of psychology of it, now you can really create lasting change within people.
No, I agree. We always talk about on our podcast about, especially with the calorie deficient diets or diets where you're limiting your VAT or you're severely limiting your calories per day, they're non-sustainable. You are more likely to quit that, like you mentioned, than something if you're maybe looking more at eating quality calories opposed to the quantity of calories. So I think, like you said, just providing information is huge, is what the vast majority of the population need, is proper education about nutrition and health.
Absolutely, yeah. And it is more important about the types of foods you eat as opposed to the amount of calories. I know I ask this question to a lot of people. I say, do you think your body would look the exact same if you ate 3,000 calories of chips and candy as opposed to grilled chicken and sweet potato? Same caloric intake, right? But intuitively, you know that's not going to – your body's going to have a different response, right? So you then have to intellectually just understand that it's more about the types of food choices that I have. It's less about portion control and all that kind of stuff. Eat till you're satisfied. You know, your body's a wonderful thing. And so if you're hungry, it's probably because there's a need for it. Your body is working at a very efficient level, and our heart beats without any thought applied to it. So the idea that you're going to outsmart your body is very silly. Work in conjunction with it. It's a matter of just educating yourself, like you said, in terms of understanding what will allow you to enjoy life and get the results that you want, because that's really what everybody's after in a way. But I've been with the pendulum swinging the totally other way, which is where, for instance, you're just enjoying life, you don't get the results you want, you're unhappy there because there's a void inside. But then the pendulum swings too far, where to grind, you're all about growth, you're all about progression, but then you forget to enjoy life. So it truly is a middle ground, because either one will resort in pain. And it's a matter of just coming to the middle ground of truth, ultimately.
Right. And obviously Muscle Prodigy has the website has stuff about nutrition on there, and also about fitness, where I'm interested to talk to you about the MP45 is more of a workout based type of program that you created, correct?
Yeah, so MP45 is a 45-day workout program and meal plan guide. So it covers all angles. Basically, wrote a book on the nutrition aspect of it, which was basically the science behind how your body reacts to nutrition, all that jazz, and then a training book in terms of how your body reacts to training. So I coined this this phrase called high-intensity stimulation training. So it's a methodology which basically takes the approach of a combination of a couple of things that I see people doing well in different disciplines, right? So, for instance, most people adopt a discipline and then defy other ones. But something that I learned, you know, early on was extract the useful, discard the useless. And this is a mantra from Bruce Lee, for instance, where he took up a martial arts discipline, and it was actually disrespectful to the dojo to take up any other one. Mm-hmm. But he really thought, well, why wouldn't I absorb as much knowledge and information as I can, and then I can use what's needed in the moment, kind of thing, right? So yes. He would study all kinds of disciplines, and then you have that in your disposal, in your arsenal, to be able to use when you want it and when it's going to work effectively. So what I noticed was that the bodybuilding community had many things that they were doing right in terms of muscular development, but there were many flaws there too in terms of in cardiovascular conditioning, for instance. And then also injury prevention, explosiveness for athletes, all that kind of stuff, right? Because most athletes intuitively know, maybe, you know, working out like a bodybuilder is not going to give me the 40-yard dash time that I want and have agility and so forth and be very efficient on the basketball court or whatever it is. So there was certain disciplines within the athletic community that I noticed that there was a lot of strengths. But there were weaknesses there as well. And then the powerlifting community also, lots of strengths there in terms of being able to have a lot of power within the muscle without even having to go through hypertrophy when you're gaining a lot of muscle size. Mm-hmm. You know, 140-pound Olympic powerlifter can lift more than a 300-pound bodybuilder, right? It's just right. The way that the muscle fibers work, but it's also because of their training. So it was just an understanding that you could take the strengths from each of them, and that's where I came up with the high intensity stimulation training, was that there was a certain protocol that I adopted for myself based on trial and error. This thing worked well for gaining muscle mass. This thing worked well for getting my body in terms of increasing my VO2 max and feeling like a lion where I could go for days in terms of cardiovascular stuff. And then and that's a highly important in wrestling, you know, as you know, conditioning wise, the matches are always won in the third period, definitely the close ones at least. And then there was definitely a lot of stuff that I took away from the powerlifting community in terms of how to put on a lot of strength and power in terms of functional stuff that you want to use every day. So things like, you know, your back and your legs are probably, and especially in wrestling, the most important muscles. Really, you're doing lots of pulling and you're doing lots of explosive movements for your legs. So those are something that I wanted to impart upon everybody else who is looking to get in the best shape of their life ultimately.
So this, obviously you said everybody else, is this geared specifically, I mean, to is there any demographic it's geared to specifically, or is it mainly just for anybody of any shape or any size?
Yeah, so the training protocol is going to be pretty consistent for practically everybody. The variation comes in the amounts of weights you're doing, for instance, the speeds at which you're going in terms of your cardiovascular training, or the amount of reps that you take, for instance, and of course with the nutritional component. A 200-pound man is obviously going to need more in terms of calories and food intake than a 120-pound female, right? So right. All that is adjusted for in our program, and we basically account for all that stuff by filling in based on your specific demographic, who you are. But what it is, I wanted it to be catered towards absolutely everybody. So somebody who was a beginner and somebody who was advanced. And what that is basically a gradual progressive approach. So you start out light, and then eventually every single week it builds and builds and builds. So it intensifies to the end of the 6.5-week program. You are working out like an elite athlete kind of thing. Now the reason why advanced lifters, for instance, should be taking this up as well, is because most, and I fell into this category for a long period of my life, was when you get bigger and bigger in terms of your muscularity, for instance, and you're lifting heavier and heavier weight, ultimately you will create an imbalance for yourself, not even knowing it. Most of us are righties, so our right side of the body will naturally tend to get the bar up or get the exercise movement in terms of the concentric motion, that we will favor that side of our body. It's just a natural instinct kind of thing. Right. What happens is when one side of your body is stronger than the other, your body actually releases certain hormones to prevent further muscular growth, because it knows at a very deep level that if we keep furthering this imbalance, we're only going to be setting ourselves up for failure. Hmm. So it actually releases hormones. There's a myostatin you can look into, for instance. And the only way to break out of that is to correct the imbalances. Now, this is why most people have injuries. Athletes, for instance, whether it's, for me, a shoulder injury that I had, it was mainly because I was very, now looking back at my career in terms of what I did wrong in terms of my training, it was very front delt dominant, for instance, and I didn't place as much emphasis on the other parts of the shoulder that could balance that out, and especially rear delts, for instance. So until you correct these muscular imbalances, you're going to run into significant problems, not just in terms of injury and so forth. You might be totally healthy in that regard, but in terms of where you actually want to take your body in terms of muscular development and all that stuff, you do have to correct those muscular imbalances. So start and learn the basics correctly, and then you can build up the foundation. You know, the skyscraper is only as good as that foundation.
Right. And that's what, and you can see, I went over to the MP45 site, and you can see a little description of each phase, each couple weeks of the 45-day plan. And then the very first, I think the first couple weeks is basically, like you said, laying that foundation for both cardiorespiratory fitness, but also your strength training fitness also.
Yeah, absolutely. So it covers all aspects. So because I did want, you know, for me personally, and many people I think fall into this category, was to be an elite athlete where you could move fast, explosive, all that kind of stuff. You could be strong as an ox, pound for pound. And then also you could have the physique. So it's not just that you worked out hard, but you look like you worked out hard, essentially. Yeah. So if you can get all aspects of those, then, you know, I think that that's a winning combination. And that's sort of how I designed this this protocol.
Now, I see you have some pro athletes that follow the program. I saw Devin McCourty, the New England Patriot safety, I believe. Have you seen any, like, combat sports athletes gravitate towards it, boxers or MMA athletes?
Yeah, and boxers, absolutely, yeah. So we have several of them, obviously, that that resort to this training. I coach them personally on for mentality, also their mindset, to get them into a winning mindset as well. Yeah, it's just it's enormously important to, and a lot of fighters, for instance, were afraid of lifting weights for a very long period of time. But then they realize that it's not going to actually slow them down. If you do it right, it will actually make you faster, more explosive. But again, you do have to protect the injuries and so forth. And you have to do a combination of your explosive training without weights, for instance, to keep that muscle fiber popping.
Yeah. I was going to say this because the workout you describe, I think, would fit especially the combat sport athlete, because they have to have the best combination of strength, quickness, power, agility, and also have the cardio fitness to go either a 15-round fight for boxers or, you know, a 5-round, 25-minute fight for a MMA, professional MMA athlete. What I wanted to ask you to kind of transition a little bit, you kind of touched on it right there about also talking about mental coaching or mental fitness. I'm really interested in your YouTube channel, which is, I think it's just Jared Grossman is the channel, correct, on YouTube?
Yeah.
And I noticed that you did a video for a year, one video a day for a year straight. So 365 videos. I was curious to know how you were able to essentially produce or have the content to produce a video every day, and also have kind of the drive to do it, get up every day and put out another video. I mean, what kind of mental, where did that mental fortitude come from? Besides, I mean, I know we talked about wrestling already, but what other drives has affected you?
Yeah, it's a great question. Great topic. I'm glad you brought this up. So I was doing motivational videos for a while, sporadically here and there, but never on that consistent basis and for that long period of time, like you mentioned, a year. So I think that's important, and I teach people that when you're making a goal, for instance, that it really has to be organic. There's so many goals that I've made with my head that it sounds good, for instance, and then you start it, and then a couple of days later, then you readjust and you reanalyze, and like, is this really what I want? You quit, right? And that's natural, because it wasn't really or an organic goal. What I mean by organic goal is that it wasn't really as part of your destiny. And it really needs to feel like that in order for you to really stick to it. So I remember basically I was up in New York and I heard a voice ultimately, you know, it's a quiet voice. And I think Steven Spielberg hints on this, where he's like, these the real goals and dreams you have, they always whisper, they never shout, kind of thing. So this is very much true in my case, where it was like, do a video every single day. And that's where it started. And I didn't even put it out there, essentially, because I think that actions speak louder than your words, that I was going to commit to doing it for a year. But I basically just, you know, committed to myself, did it. And then a few months passed, I believe about maybe 90, 100 videos through. And then I sort of like put it out there that, okay, I'm going to commit to this and actually do this for a full year, kind of thing. But it felt right. It felt like the right thing to do ultimately. And there were a lot of limiting beliefs. You know, the first is, okay, if I'm giving away all my content, how am I going to charge for content, for instance? Why would people want to pay for it, right? All that kind of stuff. It goes against the traditional marketing aspects that we're used to or we're taught, which is basically give a little sample and then you could draw them in, essentially. And then there was a fear of what if I run out of content, for instance, right? How can I produce all this content? But and many people thought I was nuts, you know, essentially in my inner circle kind of thing. You know, why would you give away all this information, and how are you going to come up with more? But the idea is, when you come up with one layer of information, it actually piggybacks off of itself. So your mind is thinking at an even deeper level, and you're thinking about stuff that you would have never gotten to had you not pressed forward through that first layer of information, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the content sort of builds off of each other. It's sort of like a synthesis off of a synthesis kind of thing. You know, it's like the same thing with music. You know, how I used to think, how can all the beats are taken in music? How can I come up with a new track or something, right? So it's you know, it's just a limiting belief ultimately. There's millions of combinations and so forth. But it's the same thing with content, and it was tough. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, there were certain days where I had to put it up, and it was like, it was like 11:40 at night, and I didn't even put up the video. And I'm like, still out there. I'm like, nothing's coming to me. I have no new content or whatnot, because I didn't just want to put out something that I've done before or whatnot. They think that there's too much of that going on in social media and so forth, where it's just the same thing over and over again. Right. But then all of a sudden, you know, like down to the wire, it would come. So it's just a magical process, I think. And it just, there's guidance. Certainly. I do believe in that heavily.
Yeah, I love videos, and I'm interested in, because we can kind of go more into that concept about another service that you provide, is the kind of the mentorship, the coaching that you provide. I was curious to hear your opinion about, because I feel like life coach is a term that's thrown around by a lot of people nowadays, and sometimes it could people are looking for someone to help them out, mentor them, but it's some they got to find out which person is real and which person is just kind of putting on a facade. I wanted to hear your opinion about what people should look for when they're looking for someone, a good mentor.
Yeah, awesome stuff. And I do agree with a lot of those connotations. I don't really love the term life coach, for instance. I do think people talk a lot but aren't walking the walk kind of thing, you know, and never wanted to do that. But we're, you know, at some level we all talk about things we shouldn't, for instance, or we give somebody advice that we're not taking ourselves. It always happens. It's a natural work. Your parents tell you something that sounds intellectually good, for instance, but they're not doing it themselves, right? It's just, and we're going to do it with our kids and so forth. It's just the natural way of life. But if you can walk before you ever put yourself out there, for anybody interested in the space, for instance, you got to show a track record. You got to build certain things up. And then people sort of gravitate to you, I feel, as opposed to you trying to sell yourself and market yourself. It's a tough game when you're trying to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but I specifically never really put myself out there as somebody who helps others in that capacity before people were starting to come to me asking for advice with their career, their relationships, their emotions, and actually paying me for it, saying, oh, I'll pay you to do this for me and consult and advise. So it wasn't the other way around, where I was just kind of marking myself and then try to draw people in. So it's very important, that distinction, I think. But we are also moving into more of an implementation age as opposed to an information age. Information is everywhere. So what people are not seeking is more information, in a sense. They have it through YouTube. They have it through Google. There's so much free information out there that you're going to be competing with that, in a sense. So you got to come up with better methods to be able to get your message out there, for instance, or be looked up to as an expert. And a lot of that is just basically, have you implemented stuff? Have you walked the walk? And then sort of people follow.
Right. So lead by example, obviously, kind of, it's a cliche saying, but it's obviously it's true, and it works for individuals like yourself. Your track record speaks for itself. I want to know more about the book Cracking the Code. Is that more something about, motivation or kind of being better at business ventures, or overall just being more kind of competent in living a fruitful and productive life?
Yeah, so I think that I mentioned this a lot, that life comes down to ultimately about eight pillars of life, and I call them mission, which is your feeling like you are on a mission every single day. That falls back into career empowerment. There's abundance, which is your financial security. Ultimately, you're living an abundant life. There's control, meaning you're in control of your emotion. There's connection, which is your spiritual connection, a connection to a higher power, to yourself, to the universe at large, whatever you believe in, believe more of it kind of thing. There's family. There's, and I believe family is the brick of society, so to speak, and that's taking a back seat to what's going on in society. We don't really value it as much, but the moment there becomes a destruction in the family unit is the moment that the civilization gets destructed as well, kind of thing. Foundation is your health, your energy levels. There's wisdom, how much mental training you're going through, and then legacy, which is ultimately the legacy you want to leave. All these things kind of have to be in balance. I walk people through this on my one-on-one coaching calls, for instance, and immersions that I do where I fly out to people's home and I test exactly where they are in each eight areas of his life. And wherever there's a lag point, I know that's the source of stress in their life. And if you're in balance, you don't have much stress. This is almost always true with everybody. And so if you could get that into balance first, then you could grow it out to hopefully what would be a 10 out of 10 in all areas ultimately. That's my compass every single day kind of thing. So that will change from moment to moment. And I recognize that. I used to think, you know, like I'm going to stick with this thought for the rest of my life. That's not truly the case. There's sort of like the wind, the energy is just constantly moving and whatnot. We're so dynamic. And who you are at 20 is not who you're going to be at 30 and not who you're going to be at 40. And those needs and desires will kind of change within those eight areas kind of thing. So it's really just assessing what the true compass ultimately in life for everybody is fulfillment. And fulfillment is twofold. It's really your inner blueprint. Hopefully you have a lot of success there, that you actually achieved what you wanted to, that you felt like you were put on this earth for a purpose and you accomplished everything. And what you did in your reality actually matches your blueprint. If you don't, you'll feel a void there. And then the second is peace within. And you could call this happiness or whatnot, but it's not a naive happiness. It's not just, you know, trying to fake yourself into a good mood, but knowing there's voids there. It's just an understanding that there's a beauty in everything that's going on in every single moment. And it's your job to find out what that is. And that's sort of my mission every single day, is to just align with that concept.
Well, I mean, that's a very admirable mission, and I appreciate you sharing that with us today. I wanted to give you some time to let people know how they can maybe check out your services, your multiple websites. You know, I just want to kind of give you time to plug yourself so people can check out and get connected with you.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. So hop on mp45.com, M as in Mary, P as in Paul, 45. That's the 45-day workout program and meal plan guide. Jumpstart yourself. Get on this physical fitness journey if you're not already, and see how changing your physiology changes almost everything else in your life, and the ability for this mental toughness and to push past limiting beliefs and fear and all this kind of stuff. And then if you want personal development, you want one-on-one coaching, for instance, or a full immersion, I actually fly out to people's homes, for instance, and coach them up. And you could go on jarrettgrossman.com, get in touch with me, schedule a coaching call. That's how it begins kind of thing, and we could take it from there.
Yeah, we'll definitely put all those links. We do weekly show notes, so for every episode, we'll have a little write-up. So we'll put all the links for Jarrett on the show notes at elementaltampa.com, so you guys definitely check those out. Jarrett, I really appreciate you coming on and speaking with me today. All the information was extremely helpful to me, especially someone like myself who's a relatively new personal trainer, and hearing all the type of different aspects that you that you're basically you work on is something I know I can aspire to also. So I appreciate you speaking with me today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Awesome stuff. Awesome questions, dude. And let's keep in touch. All right.
Absolutely. Hopefully if you got something else coming out in the future, you'll come back on and share it with the audience.
Awesome. Love to.
All right. Thanks, Jarrett. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that interview with Jarrett Grossman. I know I did. I was very happy that he came and took the time to talk with us, or talk with me, I should say. But you were there in spirit. So
I was there in, yes, purely in mind and spirit.
So I got a funny thing to admit. You guys might not be aware that sometimes, you know, the setup we have is we're able to speak through people through modern technology, Skype, of course. So we're Skyping from our home. And while I was doing the interview before it started, we had a delivery, and our dog is not very fond of when people come to the door. So she lost her stuff. And
she lost her shiz.
Yeah, and she was going crazy for a while. And luckily, Jarrett kind of was very nice and rolled with the punches. And was like, was kind of actually,
thanks, Jarrett.
Yeah, he was not like turned off or anything. He was asking me questions. He was like, how many dogs do you have? And I was like, no, that's
just one.
That's just one.
And she's a marshmallow. Yeah, so. She's a vicious sounding marshmallow.
Yes. But luckily, like I said, I'm glad he hung with it, because the interview, I got a lot out of it. And, you know, one of the main things that I've, and you guys know my love for combat sports and my history in combat sports, but, you know, Jarrett being a three-time All-American wrestler is something that I'm I'm super interested in knowing how that affected, you know, what they do now later on in life.
Yeah.
You know, because in the way Jarrett, you know, he talked, you heard about it in the interview, you talk about is that it helped him build accountability for his own actions. Because usually in all combat sports, you're mainly out there by yourself. You know, you only have yourself to rely on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, what shaped his approach to fitness and health and business. And I think you can see it reflected in everything he does.
Totally.
You know, and I mean, the thing that we talked on about towards the end about, you know, being a mentor or a life coach, you know.
Interesting.
Yes, because, and we talked
how
about.
How do you get into that? That's something I've always wondered.
Yeah, and I was kind of, I asked him the question. I was like, I hear that, you know, sometimes you hear that word, I guess, tossed, or those labels tossed around too much.
Yeah, it's like a hippy dippy kind of term. It's like, ooh, I have a life coach.
Yeah.
Yes, they're advising me on which ways to set up my bed and feng shui my house.
Yeah, and it's like
I don't know, you don't really take it as seriously.
Right, and it's tough sometimes now because you don't know if the person's a shyster or not. Right. And that's kind of what you guys heard. I asked Jarrett the same thing, and he's like, I agree. He's like, you know, as you heard, he's like, he's not a huge fan of the label either.
Yeah.
And he said, but, you know, if you're, because I asked him what you should look for, you know, and mm-hmm. and I think he gave a good piece of advice when he says you got to have a track record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have the results, you know, that you have, you know, on your kind of like achievement list, then really you can't be, you know, you can't call yourself one of those. You can't really help somebody unless you've helped yourself. So,
right.
And I think Jarrett, you can see his track record with muscleprodigy.com and MP45 and just, mm-hmm. you know, before that with his wrestling career. And now, you know, an author and life coach. I think he definitely has the qualifications to be a good mentor to people.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, I'm trying to move myself in that direction. I don't know if I'll ever be life coach status. I doubt it. You know, I probably still need a lot more experience to do. And I don't know if I'll ever call myself that. You know,
I'm going to give myself a different name.
Yeah, I love mentor. Mentorship, that's a great term because, good. You know, and I think it has a great connotation. I hope to be a mentor. And I would love to mentor anybody that is interested in taking advantage of our free fitness consultations.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, a little transition, huh? Yeah, so once again, guys, please feel free to send me an email at elementaltampa@gmail.com. We'll talk about anything health and fitness related. Also, if you need any motivation to get started on a health and fitness plan, I'm happy to help you with that too. So, because I was once there one time, and you know, one simple decision really changed and kind of, you know, what the title of this podcast, Addicted to Fitness, that's when it all started, when I made that one choice. So feel free to contact me. And I know Shannon already mentioned in the beginning, end of July.
Yeah.
Vote.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
All right. You got anything else for him?
Nothing.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.